comment on Ephesians chapter 1. Precious instruction for all. The whole of this first chapter of Ephesians contains precious instruction for every soul. Manuscript 10, 1903, verses 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The gospel is true science. These divine heights the true believer may reach. All who will may see the mystery of godliness, but it is only through a correct understanding of Christ's mission and work that the possibility of being complete in him, accepted in the beloved, is brought within our reach. His long human arm embraces the human family. His divine arm grasps the throne of the infinite, that man may have the benefit of the infinite sacrifice made in his behalf. And to as many as receive him, he gives the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There are many who are too exalted in their own opinion to receive this mystery. There is a science that the Most High would have these great men understand, but they cannot see the truth, the life, the light of the world. Human science is not divine enlightenment. Divine science is the demonstration of the Spirit of God inspiring implicit faith in him. The men of the world suppose this faith to be beneath the notice of their great and intelligent minds, something too low to give attention to, but here they make a great mistake. It is altogether too high for their human intelligence to reach. The gospel message is far from being opposed to true knowledge and intellectual attainments. It is itself true science, true intellectual knowledge. True wisdom is infinitely above the comprehension of the worldly wise. The hidden wisdom, which is Christ formed within the hope of glory, is a wisdom high as heaven. The deep principles of godliness are sublime and eternal. A Christian experience alone can help us to understand this problem and obtain the treasures of knowledge which have been hidden in the counsels of God, but are now made known to all who have a vital connection with Christ. All who will may know of the doctrine. Review and Herald, July 18, 1899. God's predestination. The Father sets his love upon his elect people who live in the midst of men. These are the people whom Christ has redeemed by the price of his own blood, and because they respond to the drawing of Christ through the sovereign mercy of God, they are elected to be saved as his obedient children. Upon them is manifested the free grace of God, the love wherewith he hath loved them. Everyone who will humble himself as a little child, who will receive and obey the word of God with a child's simplicity, will be among the elect of God. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 2, 2-11. In the council of heaven, provision was made that men, though transgressors, should not perish in their disobedience, but through faith in Christ as their substitute and surety, might become the elect of God, predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God wills that all men should be saved, for ample provision has been made in giving his only begotten Son to pay man's ransom. Those who perish will perish because they refuse to be adopted as children of God through Christ Jesus. Signs of the Times, January 2, 1895. Eternal covenant given to Abraham. Before the foundation of the earth was laid, the covenant was made that all who were obedient, all who should through the abundant grace provided become holy in character and without blame before God, by appropriating that grace should be children of God. This covenant made from eternity was given to Abraham 1900 years before Christ came. With what interest and what intensity did Christ and humanity study the human race to see if they would avail themselves of the provision offered. Manuscript 9, 1896. No unconditional election. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all virtue, all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. 2 Peter 1, 2-10. Here is the condition of the only saving election in the Word of God. We are to become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are to add grace to grace, and the promise is, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no such thing in the Word of God as unconditional election. Once in grace, always in grace. In the second chapter of 2 Peter, the subject is made plain and distinct. After a history of some who followed an evil course, the explanation is given, which have forsaken the right way, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. 2 Peter 2, 15-20. Here is a class of whom the apostle warns, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. There is truth to be received if souls are saved. The keeping of the commandments of God is life eternal to the receiver. But the Scriptures make it plain that those who once knew the way of life and rejoiced in the truth are in danger of falling through apostasy and being lost. Therefore, there is a need of a decided daily conversion to God. All who seek to sustain the doctrine of election, once in grace, always in grace, do this against a plain, thus saith the Lord. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Ezekiel 18:21 and Ezekiel 33:13. Those who have been truly converted have been buried with Christ in the likeness of his death and raised from the watery grave in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in newness of life. By faithful obedience to the truth, they are to make their calling and election sure. Manuscript 57, 1900. Verse 6, exalting Christ's character. The most gifted men on the earth could all find abundant employment from now until the judgment for all their God-given powers in exalting the character of Christ, but they would still fail to present him as he is. The mysteries of redemption, embracing Christ's divine human character, his incarnation, his atonement for sin, could employ the pens and the highest mental powers of the wisest men from now until Christ shall be revealed in the clouds of heaven in power and great glory. But though these men should seek with all their power to give a representation of Christ and his work, the representation would fall far short of the reality. The theme of redemption will employ the minds and tongues of the redeemed through everlasting ages. The reflection of the glory of God will shine forth forever and ever from the Savior's face. Letter 280, 1904, verses 20 and 21. Accepted in the Beloved, the Father gave all honor to his Son, seating him at his right hand, far above all principalities and powers. He expressed his great joy and delight in receiving the crucified one and crowning him with glory and honor. All the favors he has shown to his Son in his acceptance of the great atonement are shown to his people. Those who have united their interests in love with Christ are accepted in the Beloved. They suffered with Christ in his deepest humiliation, and his glorification is of great interest to them because they are accepted in him. God loves them as he loves his Son. Christ, Emmanuel, stands between God and the believer, revealing the glory of God to his chosen ones and covering their defects and transgressions with the garment of his own spotless righteousness. Manuscript 128, 1897, chapter 2 verses 4 to 6, quickening power of Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As God raised Christ from the dead, that he might bring life and immortality to light through the gospel, and thus save his people from their sins, so Christ has raised fallen human beings from spiritual death, quickening them with his life, filling their hearts with hope and joy. Manuscript 89, 1903, verse 7, a theme for study in eternity. It will take the whole of eternity for man to understand the plan of redemption. It will open to him line upon line, here a little and there a little. Manuscript 21, 1895. Verses 8 and 9, boasting out of place. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Human beings are in continual danger of boasting, of exalting self. Thus they reveal their weakness. The great change that is seen in the life of a sinner after his conversion is not brought about through any human goodness. Therefore, all human boasting is entirely out of place. Manuscript 36, 1904, verses 14 to 16. Ceremonies end at the cross. The ceremonies connected with the services of the temple, prefiguring Christ in types and shadows, were taken away at the time of the crucifixion, because on the cross, type meant attitype in the death of the true and perfect offering, the Lamb of God. Manuscript 72, 1901. Christ, not law, crucified. The law of the Ten Commandments lives and will live through the eternal ages. The need for the service of sacrifices and offerings ceased when type meant antitype in the death of Christ. In him the shadow reached the substance. The Lamb of God was a complete and perfect offering. The law of God will maintain its exalted character as long as the throne of Jehovah endures. This law is the expression of God's character. Types and shadows, offerings and sacrifices had no virtue after Christ's death on the cross. But God's law was not crucified with Christ. Had it been, Satan would have gained all that he attempted to gain in heaven. For this attempt he was expelled from the heavenly courts. He fell, taking with him the angels he had deceived, and today he is deceiving human beings in regard to the law of God. Manuscript 167, 1898. An infamous lie of Satan. God did not make the infinite sacrifice of giving his only begotten Son to our world to secure for man the privilege of breaking the commandments of God in this life and in the future eternal life. This is an infamous lie originated by Satan, which must be made to appear in its false, deceitful character. This law that Satan so much desires to have regarded null and void is a great moral standard of righteousness. Any violation of it is an act of transgression against God and will be visited with the penalty of the divine law. To all the inhabitants of the world who make void the law of Jehovah and continue to live in transgression, death must surely come. Manuscript 72, 1901. Verse 18, the merits of Christ's name. We have access to God through the merits of the name of Christ, and God invites us to bring to him our trials and temptations, for he understands them all. He would not have us pour out our woes to human ears. Through the blood of Christ, we may come to the throne of grace and may find grace to help in time of need. We may come with assurance, saying, "My acceptance is in the Beloved." For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. As an earthly parent encourages his child to come to him at all times, so the Lord encourages us to lay before him our wants and perplexities, our gratitude and love. Every promise is sure. Jesus is our surety and mediator, and has placed at our command every resource that we may have a perfect character. The blood of Christ in ever-abiding efficacy is our only hope, for through his merits alone we have pardon and peace. When the efficiency of the blood of Christ becomes a reality to the soul through faith in Christ, the believer will let his light shine forth in good works, in bringing forth fruits unto righteousness. Youth Instructor, September 22, 1892. Verses 19 to 21, lusterless stones without value. When I meditate upon this fountain of living water from which we may freely draw, I mourn that so many are losing the delight they might have in considering his goodness. To be sons and daughters of God, growing into an holy temple to the Lord, no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. This is our privilege. How amazed is heaven at the present condition of the church that could be so much to the world if every stone were in its proper place, a living stone to emit light. A stone that does not shine is worthless. That which constitutes the value of our churches is not dead, lusterless stones, but living stones, stones that catch the bright beams from the chief cornerstone, even the Son of Righteousness, the bright glory in which are combined the beams of mercy and truth that have met together, of righteousness and peace that have kissed each other. Letter 15, 1892. Chapter 4, a lesson to learn and practice. I point you to the words of the Apostle Paul in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. This whole chapter is a lesson that God desires us to learn and practice. Manuscript 55, 1903. The means of unity explained. In the 4th chapter of Ephesians, the plan of God is so plainly and simply revealed that all His children may lay hold upon the truth. Here the means which He has appointed to keep unity in His church, that its members may reveal to the world a healthy religious experience, is plainly declared. Manuscript 67, 1907, verse 7. What is grace? The Lord saw our fallen condition. He saw our need of grace, and because He loved our souls, He has given us grace and peace. Grace means favor to one who is undeserving, to one who is lost. The fact that we are sinners, instead of shutting us away from the mercy and love of God, makes the exercise of His love to us a positive necessity in order that we may be saved. Signs of the Times, June 5, 1893, verses 20 to 24, the secret of holiness. No man receives holiness as a birthright or as a gift from any other human being. Holiness is the gift of God through Christ. Those who receive the Savior become sons of God. They are His spiritual children, born again, renewed in righteousness and true holiness. Their minds are changed. With clearer vision, they behold eternal realities. They are adopted into God's family, and they become conformed to His likeness, changed by His Spirit from glory to glory. From cherishing supreme love for all, they come to cherish supreme love for God and for Christ. Accepting Christ as a personal Savior and following His example of self-denial, this is the secret of holiness. Signs of the Times, December 17, 1902. Grace essential every day and hour. The sanctification of the soul is accomplished through steadfastly beholding Christ by faith as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. The power of truth is to transform heart and character. Its effect is not like a dash of color here and there upon the canvas. The whole character is to be transformed. The image of Christ is to be revealed in words and actions. A new nature is imparted. Man is renewed after the image of Christ in righteousness and true holiness. The grace of Christ is essential every day, every hour. Unless it is with us continually, the inconsistencies of the natural heart will appear and the life will present a divided service. The character is to be full of grace and truth. Wherever the religion of Christ works, it will brighten and sweeten every detail of life with more than an earthly joy and a higher than earthly peace. Letter 2A, 1892, verse 29, no corrupt communication. We are counseled to let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. But a corrupt communication is not simply something that is vile and vulgar. It is any communication that will eclipse from the mind the view of Christ, that will blot from the soul true sympathy and love. It is a communication in which the love of Christ is not expressed, but rather sentiments of an unchristlike character. Letter 43, 1895, verse 30, reaching the mark of perfection. The mighty power of the Holy Spirit works an entire transformation in the character of the human agent, making him a new creature in Christ Jesus. When a man is filled with the Spirit, the more severely he is tested and tried, the more clearly he proves that he is a representative of Christ. The peace that dwells in the soul is seen on the countenance. The words and actions express the love of the Savior. There is no striving for the highest place. Self is renounced. The name of Jesus is written on all that is said and done. We may talk of the blessings of the Holy Spirit, but unless we prepare ourselves for its reception, of what avail are our works? Are we striving with all our power to attain to the stature of men and women in Christ? Are we seeking for His fullness, ever pressing toward the mark set before us, the perfection of His character? When the Lord's people reach this mark, they will be sealed in their foreheads. Filled with the Spirit, they will be complete in Christ, and the recording angel will declare, "It is finished." Review and Herald, June 10, 1902. Verse 32, kind words never lost. It should be our aim to bring all the pleasantness possible into our lives and to do all the kindness possible to those around us. Kind words are never lost. Jesus records them as if spoken to himself. Sow the seeds of kindness, of love, and of tenderness, and they will blossom and bear fruit. Manuscript 33, 1911. Chapter 5, verse 2. The offering that is made to God without a spirit of reverence and gratitude, he does not accept. It is the humble, grateful, reverential heart that makes the offering as a sweet-smelling savor acceptable to God. The children of Israel might have given all their substance, but given in a spirit of self-sufficiency or Phariseeism, as though God were indebted to them for their favors, their offerings would have been unaccepted and utterly contemned by him. It is our privilege by diligently trading on our Lord's goods to increase our store so that we may impart to those who have fallen into distress. Thus we become the Lord's right hand to work out his benevolent purposes. Manuscript 67, 1907. Verses 2 and 27, Christ's life and oblation to God. Christ also hath loved us, writes Paul, and hath given himself to us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. This is the oblation of a life gift in our behalf, that we may be all that he desires us to be, representatives of him, expressing the fragrance of his character, his own pure thoughts, his divine attributes as manifested in his sanctified human life, in order that others may behold him in his human form and, comprehending God's wonderful design, be led to desire to be like Christ, pure, undefiled, wholly acceptable to God, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Manuscript 159, 1903, verse 25. Only one source of light. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It is the purchase of his blood. The divine Son of God is seen walking amid the seven golden candlesticks. Jesus himself supplies the oil to these burning lamps. He it is that kindles the flame. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. No candlestick, no church shines of itself. From Christ emanates all its light. The church in heaven today is only the complement of the church on earth, but it is higher, grander, perfect. The same divine illumination is to continue through eternal ages. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light thereof. No church can have light if it fails to diffuse the glory it receives from the throne of God. Manuscript 1A, 1890. The case which contains his jewels. The church of Christ is very precious in his sight. It is the case which contains his jewels, the fold which encloses his flock. Manuscript 115, 1899. Verse 27, reaching the condition of sinlessness. Those only who through faith in Christ obey all the commandments will reach the condition of sinlessness in which Adam lived before his transgression. They testify to their love of Christ by obeying all his precepts. Chapter 6, verse 4, more powerful than sermons. Parents, God desires you to make your family a sample of the family in heaven. Guard your children. Be kind and tender with them. Father, mother, and children are to be joined together with the golden links of love. One well-ordered, well-disciplined family is a greater power in demonstrating the efficiency of Christianity than all the sermons in the world. When fathers and mothers realize how their children copy them, they will watch carefully every word and gesture. Manuscript 31, 1901, verses 10 to 12. Battling with unseen powers. In the Word of God are represented two contending parties that influence and control human agencies in our world. Constantly, these parties are working with every human being. Those who are under God's control and who are influenced by the heavenly angels will be able to discern the crafty workings of the unseen powers of darkness. Those who desire to be in harmony with the heavenly agencies should be intensely in earnest to do God's will. They must give no place whatever to Satan and his angels. But unless we are constantly on guard, we shall be overcome by the enemy. Although a solemn revelation of God's will concerning us has been revealed to all, yet a knowledge of His will does not set aside the necessity of offering earnest supplications to Him for help, and of diligently seeking to cooperate with Him in answering the prayers offered. He accomplishes His purpose through human instrumentalities. Manuscript 95, 1903. Complete armor essential. God wants everyone to stand with the whole armor on, ready for the grand review. Manuscript 63, 1908. Verses 11 to 7. The breastplate of righteousness. We must put on every piece of the armor and then stand firm. The Lord has honored us by choosing us as His soldiers. Let us fight bravely for Him, maintaining the right in every transaction. Rectitude in all things is essential to the welfare of the soul. As you strive for the victory over your own inclinations, He will help you by His Holy Spirit to be circumspect in every action, that you may give no occasion for the enemy to speak evil of the truth. Put on as your breastplate that divinely protected righteousness which it is the privilege of all to wear. This will protect your spiritual life. Use Instructor, September 12, 1901. Angels near to protect us. If we have on the heavenly armor, we shall find that the assaults of the enemy will not have power over us. Angels of God will be round about us to protect us. Review and Herald, May 25, 1905. Verse 12. A battle against principalities and powers. Could human beings know the number of the evil angels, could they know their devices and their activity, there would be far less pride and frivolity. Satan is the prince of demons. The evil angels over whom he rules do his bidding. Through them he multiplies his agencies throughout the world. He instigates all the evil that exists in our world. But though the principalities and powers of darkness are both many in number and unceasing in activity, yet the Christian should never feel hopeless or discouraged. He may not hope to escape temptation through any lack of satanic efficiency. He who sent a legion to torture one human being cannot be repulsed by human wisdom or power alone. Speaking of Satan, the Lord declares that he abode not in the truth. Once he was beautiful, radiant in light, but God's word declares of him, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." Satan instigated others to rebel, and after they were cast out of heaven, he bound them together in a confederacy to do all the evil possible to man as the only means of striking God. Excluded from heaven, he resolved to be avenged by injuring the workmanship of God. Around the standard of rebellion that he planted, evil workers of all generations have rallied. Evil angels have united with evil men in a warfare against Christ's kingdom. Satan's aim has been to reproduce his own character in human beings. No sooner was man created than Satan resolved to efface in him the image of God and to place his stamp where God should be. And he has succeeded in instilling into the heart of man the spirit of envy, of hatred, of ambition. In this world he has set up a kingdom of darkness, of which he, the leader, is in guilt, is prince. He desired to usurp the throne of God. Failing in this, he has worked in darkness, in crookedness, in deception, to usurp his place in the hearts of men. He has set up his throne between God and man to appropriate the adoration that belongs to God alone. Manuscript 33, 1911. Under whose control? I want you to consider what kind of a position we should be left in if we had not the ministry of holy angels. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We meet the opposition of men, but there is someone behind that opposition. It is the prince of the powers of darkness with his evil angels that are constantly at work. And we want to consider, all of us, that our warfare is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Who is it that is ruling the world today? And who is it that have chosen to stand under the banner of the prince of darkness? Why, it is nearly the whole world at large. All the world that have not accepted Jesus Christ have chosen for their leader the prince of darkness. And just as soon as they stand under his banner, they have connection with evil angels. Either the evil angels or the angels of God are controlling the minds of men. Our minds are given to the control of God or to the control of the powers of darkness. And it will be well for us to inquire where we are standing today, whether under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel or under the black banner of the powers of darkness. We must make every preparation in our power in order to resist the enemy of souls. Every provision has been made. Everything in God's plan has been arranged so that man should not be left to his own impulses, to his own finite powers, to carry on the warfare against the powers of darkness in his own finite strength, because he would certainly fail if he were thus left to himself. Faithful sentinels on guard, there are good and evil angels. Satan is ever on the alert to deceive and mislead. He is using every enchantment to allure men into the broad road of disobedience. He is working to confine the senses with erroneous sentiments and remove the landmarks by placing his false inscription on the signpost which God has established to point the right way. It is because these evil agencies are striving to eclipse every ray of light from the soul that heavenly beings are appointed to do their work of ministry, to guide, guard, and control those who shall be heirs of salvation. None need despair because of the inherited tendencies to evil, but when the Spirit of God convicts of sin, the wrongdoer must repent and confess and forsake the evil. Faithful sentinels are on guard to direct souls in the right paths. Manuscript 8, 1900. Constant warfare of the angels. If the curtain could be rolled back and each one could discern the constant activities of the heavenly family to preserve the inhabitants of the earth from Satan's seductive wiles, lest in their careless attitude they should be led astray through satanic strategy, they would lose a large degree of their self-confidence and self-assurance. They would see that the armies of heaven are in continual warfare with satanic agencies to obtain victories in behalf of those who do not sense their danger and who are passing on in unconscious indifference. Manuscript 2, 1900.